Let's begin. So we're at we're again we're in the last parak of Sefer Shmuel. Hashem is angry with the people, entices David to count them, and then David realizes it's a terrible thing. You can't count the people, and God comes to him with a choice. You have to choose. Hatavolacha shevashim ra'av baratzacha. Do you want 7 years of famine in the land? Or you want 3 years of being chased by your enemies. Or you want 3 days of a plague. And he responds, Charlie Ma'od, this is terrible. I am in a lot of distress. Let me fall into the hands of God, cause His mercy is great. Adam ala pola. Let me not fall to the hands of man. And basically, not a choice. He was refusing to choose, saying, "I'm not going to make that decision at all. God, you choose." So the response is to start this epidemic, and that's the next pasuk. Pasuk source one. Vayitain Hashem dever b'Yisrael. Hashem made a pestilence. Send a pestilence to Israel me'a boker v'ad eight moed, from the morning until the eight moed, the set time. And then people died from Dan in the north, like Becheva in the south. Shivim elef ish, 70,000. You asked last time. I don't about what that number is. I don't know of any significance of 70,000. Sure, someone says it. But how long does this last? What is v'ad eight moed until the set time? Doesn't say shoshi yamim. Right, David was said, you want to choose a plague, it's going to be 3 days. That's not what's happening here, because this isn't really David's choice. Hashem is just sending this plague, which is the natural response to a census to counting the people. Right? Parashat Kitisa says that you need to do it right, lo yeh behem negev, that there shouldn't be a plague. Here, it was wrong, there was a plague. The Radak says about this, it was from God's mercy. Katzar zaman hadever. That was only for a very short period of time. Sherei amar lo gimel yamim, because the original tradition for 3 days. Lo ya'ela mi'aboker about 8 moed. And here, just from the morning until some point. Chazal understand that was a very short plague, and the potential to continue on and wipe out the whole nation. This is the end of Shmuel. Gemara similar answer description. Mechia bar Abba Omer. That was the eight moed. Is the moed is the karban tamid. So basically, it took the time from the time they shechted the karban tamid in the morning until they sprinkled the blood. A couple of minutes. That was it. Run Amri, and Chum said, "From the moment the light first appeared in the dawn, ad melei kol Gilgal, until the whole circle of the sun came up." That's about an hour from Nates until Alora Shachar. So look how many died in that period of time. And if it was the full period, Shahir means the full 3 days, how much more? You have 70,000 times 72, they could have wiped out the nation. So Hashem has pity on the people, right? Stops the plague early. And what he does in the text, it gives David a chance to reconsider his response. Plague's going on, and he sends a sign to David. And David says, you know, this really is my fault. And here's the way the text says, Vayishlach yadav ha-malach Yerushalayim shachata. And this, the malach, the angel that was destroying everything, the plague itself, reached Yerushalayim. And it was about to start cases in Yerushalayim. Menachem Hashem el hara'ah, and Hashem changes mind, reconsidered the evil. Vayomer la malach, and he says to this angel, la malach mashchit, to this destroying angel, ba'am rabata, you have already attacked a great multitude. Haref yadcha, pull back your hand. Malach Hashem haya im goren arnava hayivusi. At that moment, this malach was at the place called the threshing floor, Aravna, In Shmuel, he's called Aravna. In Divrei Yamim, he's called Arnon, which is the way it's usually talked. The quote usually is, so it's about Gorin Arnon, the threshing floor of Arnon. The threshing floor is important because, for threshing, you need to stomp on all the grain and then throw it in the air, and the wind blows away the chaff. So it's got to be a big open space. Whenever you see any kind of big meeting in Tanakh, it's always going to be in somebody's Gorin. So it's a big open space. So this is a big open space that's not in Yerushalayim itself. It's just outside of Yerushalayim. Yer David is the Yerushalayim as it was. What's now, this is what's going to be Har HaBayit. That was outside the city. Okay, it was a hilltop just outside the city, and that's owned by this guy named Arnon or Aravna, and it's his threshing floor. And there is where the Malach stops. It's not just a plague happening, because actually an image of a Malach. We'll see that in Divrei Yamim. Yomer David al Hashem. And then David says, as he Biratoat HaMalach, when he sees this image of this angel, a Makeba Am, that was striking the people. Yomer, Hinei Ochicha Tati. He says, look, this is all my fault. I'm going to sin. And I'm the one who did wrong. These sheep, make sure what they done. Attack me and my family, my household. Don't kill the people. We've already got 70,000 and things aren't stopping here. We're about to wipe out Yerushalayim. And the version in Divrei Yamim, it's a much more dramatic image. It's by Yishlach Kim Malach Yerushalayim. God sends an angel to Jerusalem, to wipe it out. And as it was about to wipe out Yerushalayim, Ra Hashem, Hashem looks and regrets, changes his mind about the evil. Malach tells this destroying angel, Rabata, you've done enough. Heref yadcha, pull back your hand. Malach Hashem omed ibgoron Arnon ha'yibusi. Again, the Malach is there at the threshing floor of Arnon. David lifts his eyes. Vayaret Malach Hashem. And sees the angel of God, Omed ben ha'aretz v'ben ha'shamayim, standing between the land and the earth, v'charbosh lufa b'yado, Nitya Yerushalayim. We quote that in the Seder. That's his Zeroy Nitya. His sword is outstretched in his hand, stretched out over his sword is unsheathed in his hand, spread out over Yerushalayim. V'yipol David v'zakenim, machsim b'sakim al pneihem. And David and the elders are put on sackcloth and they fall on their faces. They have this huge image of this destroying angel that's standing there over Yerushalayim, a sword pointing at the Goron Arnon. I'm the one who said I'm to count the people. I'm the one who sinned. And I did wrong. These sheep, what they've done. Oh God, let your hands be against me and my household. Let your people not suffer in this plague. I did find an illustration of this. Here we have the guardian angel sword spread out over Yerushalayim. That's a dramatic image he's got. And
Mom, you should get this picture, Mom.
I'll show you later at the end. You ever hear a comic strip called Rose's Rose?
No, but I'm just saying this could be in like a comic today.
It was. It's contemporary. It's nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with David and Yerushalayim there. This is
Oh,
from
okay.
another comic strip. We'll show you at the end because we'll get there. Again, this is Rose's Rose. Cute little comic about a little boy who has a guardian angel. There you are. But anyway, here's his sword, Shlufal Yerushalayim. So David says, blame me. This is my fault. You've got to stop the plague. So Hashem stops the plague, but doesn't punish David or the family. Instead, he tells David, this is what you need to do. What are you going to do now? Now we've had this plague. We understood that Hashem was anger. He was angry at them. We quoted the Midrash that said that Kol otan alafim shenaflu, all these thousands that died at this time, lo naflu, Ella, the reason why they died, Shelo tavu binyan Beit HaMikdash, because they didn't want the Beit HaMikdash to be built. I said that what that means, the Beit HaMikdash is not about it being a building. It's being the Beit Tefillah Chol Amim, being the Orla Goyim. That's what a Beit HaMikdash is, opposed to a Mishkan, which is just for the people. Beit HaMikdash is for everyone, and you need to form a society of Mishparut Tzedakah. That's what they need to do in order to build a Beit HaMikdash, in order to have any meaning. But here Hashem tells David, okay, you didn't get that, but I'll let you start on this physical symbol. I'm going to tell you where you're going to build this Beit HaMikdash. I'm going to show you where the Mizbeach is going to be. So the parrot continues. So the Navi that God comes to David on that day. He tells him, Ale, stand up. You're right. You're bowing down, praying to before this Malach. Don't do that. You need to build a Mizbeach in this threshing floor. This is the place where the Mizbeach belongs. Rambam says, this is where the Akedah, that was the location where the Akedah was. That's where Noach's Mizbeach was. That's where Adam's Mizbeach was. And it's in this place, that's the threshing floor of Aravna Hayabusi. V'yal David kidbar God, and so David gets up, Hashem Tzivah's way God commanded him, and he heads north. From he's in Yerushalayim, in Ir David now, he heads north to Harabayim. V'yashkef Aravna, and Aravna is looking, V'yart ha-melech v'tavadav obrim alav, and this guy Aravna, who's a Yehusi, he's not Jewish. So the Jebusites, one of the original inhabitants of Yerushalayim, he sees David, he sees the king and all of the servants coming toward him. They say, Aravna, Vaishtachlo Melcha Paparso, and Aravna bows down to the king. Yom Aravna, Madua Bada Nia Melech Alavdo. So it says, why you come to your servant? Okay. Vayomer David, Lipnot Meamchata Gorin. I want to buy your threshing floor. Lipnot Mizbeach Lashem, to build an altar for God, but Teatsera Magifami Al Hashem, and then the plague will stop. I don't know if Aravna knows about this plague or not, but so he sees this vision of this angel that's appearing over Shalayim. He sees the king coming toward him with all the people, and he says, you want it, it's yours. But Yomar Aravna David, Ikach, go take everything. Let my master, the king, take whatever is good in his eyes. Reha Bakar, La'ola, you can take all my oxen, use them for sacrifices. And you can take the yoke and all klei bakar rather, and all the implements of the oxen. Well, it seems you can burn those to build your mizbeach. Akol natan aravna hamelach lamelach, and everything aravna the king gave to the king. That's a throwaway line. Aravna is it's not just a Yevusi; he's a king now. Look at that. And Aravna gives him a blacha and says, may God do your will. He likes David. So David says back to him, No, I want to buy it for you for money. I'm not going to bring anything for free. I want to pay for it. So David buys the threshing floor of the bakar and all the oxen. The Kesef Shkalim Chamishim pays him 50 shekels. So he builds an altar for Hashem. Bayal Olot Shamim, and offered sacrifices. And Shlomim has a barbecue for everybody. Vayatera Hashem La'aretz is the last line saved from Shmuel. And God hears the prayers of the land. Betetzer Magifa Me'al Yisrael, and the plague is over. So this kind of negotiation we've seen before, it's exactly like Abraham negotiating with Marta Machpelah, right? We don't have to go inside because we all know this, that Abraham says, I would like this Mara, I want this cave, and Ephron Achiti says, here, it's yours, it's a gift. Abraham says, no, I want to pay for it, right? Pays Abraham Mir Shekel Kesef Ober La Socher, negotiable money. Because it's the same idea that he wants to ensure that this purchase is legal. It's not a gift. You can't claim that it was given in error. This is permanent. I am paying money for it. This now is mine. And the subtle point we mentioned here, that Aravna is called Aravna HaMelech. He's called the king. Because he is the Yevusi. He was the king of the Yevusi. Right? This is not a transfer of land between individuals, between heads of state. That the idea is that the place of Mizbeach, maybe that belongs to the government, to the nation of Israel as a whole, it's not David as an individual. He's acting head of state. And the fact that he's the king means that, A, even after David conquered Yerushalayim, The original king still lived there. He still owned land. He's still in peace, still, giving brachas to David. And that's the point that Radak makes. And it says, Arabna Melach. Melach Yebusi. He was the king of the Jebusites. Yosheb Yerushalayim lived in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's who he was. Ki Afi Me David Hayebusi. Even after David conquers it, still the Yebusim lived in Yerushalayim. Yulehem Batim, Sadot Haramim, Adei Hamas, and they had land there, they paid taxes, they were good Israeli citizens. But Filu Mizayin HaUmot. Of course, the truth is that even from the seven nations of Canaan, the Yecholim L'shevet Ba'aretz, they could live, they were allowed to live in the land, but T'nai Zeh, Shlo Yechatiu, they shouldn't make cause others to sin. And the idea of Sheva Mitzvah Noach, they can't be a worship of Avodah Zarah, then they can live. There's no requirement to kill everyone. That the pasuk says that they shouldn't live there lest they cause you to sin before me. But as long as they're not sinning, mutar, they could live there. We talked about this. We talked about when David, beginning of his reign, conquers Yerushalayim. There is no battle. This is a story that was way back in Parakeh. King and his men went to Yerushalayim. To the Yebusi who lived there. So the Yebusi tell him. They more. They announce. You cannot come here. Unless you can't come here unless you can get rid of the blind and the lame. I'm going to figure out what the blind and the lame are. More meaning, that David cannot come here. That our Ivrim and Pischim, our blind and lame, are protecting us. David conquers it anyway, the Tower of Zion, Ir David, that would be called the City of David later. Remember, David said, had said about this, that day, Kol Makevusi, Bigabat Sanur, Nefesh David. And this is kind of a I suppose the opposite is that it's not the sentence is complete, but David says that anyone who can attack the Yebusi, and we talked about Tzinor being the pipe getting through the waterworks. There's a Warren's shaft you can visit in Yerushalayim now. That's supposedly the Tzinor, this pipe that you can sneak into the city from the Gihon Spring.
Is that's the tunnel you go through now?
But there's a tunnel you will go through that I always did with a flat with a candle.
Yeah.
That's Chizkiyahu's tunnel.
Right. So
That
then
was built later. This is a different tunnel. It's basically it's a vertical shaft.
wow. Okay.
Okay. Look at Warren's shaft. Right. The Chizkiyahu tunnel was built later as an easier way to get to the water supply. This was more of
Much easier.
a natural chimney in the rock.
Yeah.
Presumably that's what the Tzinor was, the pipe. No one's really quite sure, but if you get in there and you can attack the Pischim, the lame, and the blind who hate David, and that happened, and we see the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim fills it in when it says, that anyone who conquers the who can attack the Yebusi will be the leader. Yoav ben Tsruya, and Yoav is the one who made it up through the Tzinor, took out the Pischim, the blind, lame, and the blind. Beulah Rosh, and he became the head of David's army. And then I'll back in Shmuel, it says, Al ken yomru, therefore everyone says, Iver Pesach of the blind and the lame, lo yavo elabai, cannot come to this house. What are the blind and the lame? And we talked then about a couple of understandings, but I think the obvious one is the way Rashi puts it, that's it's an Aviz term for idols. That they didn't call them lame and blind. That's the now that's the author's calling them the blind and the lame. And we have that in Tehillim and Halel, right? The Atzabeim Kesef Zahav, their idols are silver and gold, Masiyat Adam, the works of human beings. Telehem they're mute, Einayim they're blind, as Naim they're deaf, they can't smell, Mishun. They can't feel, and they can't walk, right? Idols are blind and lame. There's no voice in their throats. Basically, the Yebusi are telling David, you can't get hit, you can't take the city. we've been living among Bnei Yisrael for the past 400 years. No one's conquered us. We have faith in our idols. And then Yoav goes out and just knocks over the idols. And at that point, there's no battle in Yerushalayim. David just walks in. Effectively, they surrender. The Midrash Tehillim, midrashically, who else there, describes this as David simply walking over the walls. We have this line about it's David is telling Hashem, for you, I run before the war camp, and with faith in my God, at the lake shore, I will jump over a mountain, I will jump over a wall. And the Midrash puts it, Omer, David goes to attack, make war on the Yebusim. He said, look, anyone who can attack the Yebusi by getting up the water shaft, etc. Masa Yoav, what did Yoav do? He got onto a leafy cypress tree, tied it to the wall, and pulled over the end of the cypress below Rosh Hashanah David and climbed on David's head. Nitzla Rosh climbed up this cypress tree, Dilei jumped over the wall and invaded the city. David, so when David says, Yalmeni tzadik chesed yuchecheni, that is this gonna get basically is gonna outdo me, he's gonna outdo me by invading. Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Hashem do? Kitzer tachama, Hashem shrunk the wall down. David acharav, and David just climbed in after Yoav. That's what means he jumped over the wall. He just walked into Yerushalayim. It's a midrashic way of saying there was no battle. They surrendered. I think that, I mean, clearly they've been living in peace with the Bnei Yisrael for the past 300 odd years. In the middle, there's one Yebusi city in the middle of all of the Bnei Yisrael, even when it was an independent kingdom, they must have had relations with them. There's no way anything could get in and out of the city without going through Jewish territory. So it wasn't that much of a change. Instead of being owned by the king, the mayor, basically, like the king of Yavuz was basically a mayor. Instead of him being independent, he was now subject to David. And they live in Yerushalayim with the condition of, we said, by Al Ken Yomru, Iver Pesach Lo Yavola Bayit. You ever say the idols can't go into the house? That's what they have to keep. They couldn't serve Avodah Zarah. They live in peace with the Jews. Aravna, when David says, I want to buy your threshing floor, he says, fine, El Hashem Elokecha Yitzecha, may your God do your will. Right? He's blessing David, which is not a small thing. This is not really a conquest. This is the peaceful transfer of ownership of this threshing floor. And the version in Divrei Yamim, again, is a little more poetic, but it's similar to what happens here. I want to read it through because there's a subtle difference. Malach Hashem Amar El God, Lemor El David. So the Malach tells God, who's the Navi, to tell David, Ki Yaleh David Lakim Mizbech LaHashem Begoren Arnon HaYebusi. David should go up and build this Mizbech, build his altar in the second floor of Arnon. So he listens to God. He goes on top of to the threshing floor. Yeshiv Arnon, and Arnon is there. Vayar Tamala. Right here it says Arnon saw this angel of Arbat, Banav Imo, and he has his four sons with him, and they're all hiding. Right, because that's pretty intimidating, having one of those standing over your head. So they're all in hiding. Arnon dashchitim, and Arnon was in the middle of threshing his wheat. David comes to him. Arnon and Arnon looks. David and Arnon. So Arnon goes out of the threshing floor, but he's hiding somewhere. He bows down to them. Arnon, let me have this place where your threshing floor is. I'm going to build an altar. I will sell to you for full value, so that the plague will end. No, Arnon says, take it, do whatever you want with it. I've given you, you can have the ox and sacrifice them, the yoke you can burn, use the wheat for your korban mincha, it's all yours, I'm giving it to you. So the king says, I'm gonna, I want to pay for it. I'm not gonna take what you're offering me for God, but I'm not going to offer sacrifices without paying for free. I want to pay for them. So David gives Arnon for this place, shikle zahav, gold coins, mishkal sheshmi, 600 shekalim. David shem David mizbeach l'Hashem, v'yal olod shlamim, and so he builds his mizbeach, he offers sacrifices by kral Hashem, by neo, by esh me'ashamayim. And so Hashem answers him, brings a fire down from heaven onto this altar, a sign that it's accepted. That's just like the Chanukah Dabayit by the Mishkan, that it, what will happen with Shlomo build the Beit Midash, the fire comes down from heaven, HaMizbach Allah. Rimma Shemom Allah, so God talks to this angel, Vayeshev Charbo El Nadna, and the angel sheathed his sword. Ve'etehi Barot David Keneo Hashem Begorod Arnoni Busi. And at that moment, David saw that that Hashem had answered him in this threshing floor by his Bacham, and he offers his sacrifices there. And in Divrei Yamim, it mentions the Mishkan, Mishkan Hashem Asher Asa Moshe B'Midbar, and this Mishkan that Moshe had built, Allah, and the central altar that we are supposed to bring Korbanot on. By day in that time, the Mamag Babamah Begivon was in Givon. That's where the Mishkan was. And all this time, David never left Yerushalayim to go to the Mishkan. Because he was afraid, and he's staying in Yerushalayim. And now Hashem is saying, okay, we're going to move the Mizbeach from the Mishkan in Givon to here in Yerushalayim, what's now the Har HaBayit. And the big difference between the two stories, aside from a little more image of the angel with a sword outstretched in Divrei Yamim, is the price paid. And Shmuel says, Kesef Shkalim Chamishim. It's 50 Shkalim. In Divrei Yamim, what he pays for this land is Shiklei Zahav Mishkal Sheshmo, 600. And Rima says, difference that Shmuel describes what is bought, being bought as Hagoran Babakar. It's just the threshing floor, that one spot, and the oxen that were with it. When Divrei Yamim is Hamakom, retained by Makom, the whole area, the entire what we now call Har HaBayit. This is what the Gemara says, Tanya. Hatu v'chad omer, one place it says, retained David l'Arnon b'makom shiklei zahav mishkal shesh mi'ot. Right, Divrei Yamim, David gave Arnon 600 shkalim. V'tiv, in Shmuel, it says, v'yikin David ha'goren v'na bakar b'kesef shkalim chamishim. He paid 50. Like I said, how's that possible? One answer. That really the 50 refers to that he collected from each tribe 50 shkalim, multiplied that by 12. That's the 600. Another answer. That the bakar, that just the oxen and the place in Mizbeach was benun was 50, v'chol abayit kulo, that the whole area there, v'sheshmeh was for the 600. I think that both those opinions really are the same. They're not really different. So in Shmuel is describing, David is going to Arnon and says, I want to buy this. I need to buy the place where I can build my mizbeah. 50 shekels. He gives that he's carrying cash right now. He then collects from all the tribes an equivalent amount and buys the entire Har HaBayit. Because the Beit HaMikdash has to belong to all Bnei Israel. Can't be possession of David alone, can't be just his tribe. So the 50 is only, you know, David's share. All the people put the rest of it into it. As Marsha says here, Makom HaMikdash no nichalik l'shvatim. The place the Beit HaMikdash is was not given to any particular tribe. It's got to be owned by the people as a whole. L'chein nitan kol shevet yibet shvatim kol echad chelko b'shavet. Therefore, every tribe gave the same amount all. And that's the 600s. Now David owns the what's going to be the Harabayit. He owns Goren Arnon, and he builds a Mizbeach there. And there's where Shlomo will build the Beit HaMikdash around that Mizbeach. But there's a very strange series of Agadah about this purpose. Nachin Shimon. Pesukim Shir HaSirim says, Achaz Tiva V'lo Arpena. I held on to it and I wouldn't let go. Zeh David. This is David. Holding on, not letting go. Why? K'shetafas Agoren Miyat Ar Ravna HaYivusi. When he took the threshing floor from Arna Aravna, from Arnon, I'll say. Matsa Gulato Shel Aravna. And he found the skull of Arnon, the Tunat Tachem Mizbeach, buried under the Mizbeach. Upasal Makom Karbonot Yisrael, and still he would not let it be possible. He still built the Mizbeach in a spot. Right? So the Midrash says that he buys it from Arnon, and he starts digging, and he finds the skull of Arnon there. That's weird.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it would be Tommy now.
That'd be a problem if I'm still alive. So where's the skull there? And that skull, the Golgolet of Arnon, keeps popping up in lots of little stories. For instance, Chizkiyahu. The 200 odd years later, okay, but he's reestablishing service of Hashem after all the idolatrous kings. He wants to have this big Pesach holiday, and it says Vayatz HaMelech v'Sarav, and the king and all of and his ministers all made the decision of Kol HaKahal b'Yerushalayim, and they all decided to get together in Yerushalayim Lasod Pesach, to make Pesach B'Chodesh HaShani in the second month. Okay, they made Pesach instead of being in Nisan, they did it in Iyar. But Mark explains that he didn't make it in Iyar. What he did, he made it a leap year. So it was already Nisan. He said, no, we're going to retroactively make it Adar Sheni. So now the next month, we're going to have Pesach. He needed the extra time. Next discussion, why is it extra time? I think Kidamar Simon Bar Zvidi, and he says, one reason, this Yerushalmi says, why did he need that extra time, make it need an extra month? Because there was a tumor problem. They found the skull of Arnon underneath the Mizbeach. Very strange. And another one. This is from Chagai. So this is the second Beit HaMikdash. They've come back, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. They come back to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. The first thing they do in Chagai is build the Mizbeach. I mean, they won't actually get the building itself built until the time of they won't really. Yeah, I guess they'll get that in the time of Chagai, but not much, but much later. But Chagai and Perek Bet, they build the Beit HaMikdash, and Chagai starts asking the Kohanim all sorts of questions. Remember Chagai. He's quizzing the Kohanim. Do they know their stuff? Right. We've just come back from Galut. Do you know enough? Do you know the halakhas? And if someone who's tame will touch the kelim of the mizbeach, will it become tame? And the Kohanim said, "Yep, it will become tame." And the Yerushalmi Sota says that wasn't a hypothetical question. That was a real problem. Like Mar Simon de Vazvidi, same guy as the previous one. Google Tosha Arna Yabusi, Matsav Tachem Mizbeach. They found the skull of Arnon again under the Mizbeach. Another tumor problem. Hard to figure that out. So this is where Rav Eisenman puts it in his The Art Scroll of Divrei Yamin. The expression of the skull of Arnon the Yabusite, particularly since it appears in three different times in three different contexts, suggests an agata connotation. We're going to take it seriously, but not literally. Maral, so Avot 2:7, where it talks about Hillel seeing a gulgolet, a skull. Things that in such context, a gulgolet, skull, does not mean a part of the body at all, but rather describes a personality. Arnon's heathen and defiling personality was still leaving impression on that place. But somehow, throughout the history of the Mizbeach, we have some aspect of Yivusi still in there. The picture which emerges is that of a constant tension between the defilement and sanctity of this most holy place on earth, and the constant effort to maintain the high spiritual standards. Well, that should be a when there. When the constant effort to maintain high spiritual standards relax, then the skull of Arnon reappears. His pernicious presence makes itself felt. And we have this idea that there's a problem with the Mizbeach here. So we talked about that he buys this, he builds Mikdash, he's doing it wrong. We're supposed to first have the people deserving of a Beit Midrash and then start building. He's starting with the thing first. He said that, okay, Avodah Zarah would never rear its ugly head in the Beit Midrash. That's what he says, right? When he says, Al Ken Yamru Iveru Pseach Lo Yavola Bayit, that the Avodah Zarah, the blind and the lame, will never come to the house. But he never really eliminates it. So Avodah Zarah is fundamentally connected not so much to service of Hashem, but to a lack of understanding of the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro side of it. Look at that Tehillim that talks about the Avodah Zarah, the Atzabehem, are blind and lame, they can't see, they can't smell, they can't hear. It ends with Kmohem Yoaseh, that they will be like, that they're the ones who make them will be like them. Anyone who has faith in them. And it's like quoted Zohar Atkins about this before. The person who turns from God to God is using each God to achieve some end. That's what polytheism is. The point of monotheism is that one's relationship with God is not disposable nor is interchangeable. It's not instrumental or transactional. You don't use God. So if you treat God as an instrument to be used, he's going to end up treating other people as instruments to be used. That's Kmoen Yuaseh. And similarly, if you treat other people as instruments to be used, you'll end up treating God as an instrument to be used. And that, even if, no matter how few gods you have, you just have one God, but if you're using Hashem as an instrument, that's the definition of paganism. That goes together. The idea of being of ethical monotheism is we're all created at, there's one Hashem who has his own, exists for his own sake, and we are created in the image of Hashem, so therefore every human being has their own importance. And that's why Hillel can say, you know, when the convert says, like, teach me the whole Torah on one leg. He says, what is hateful to you, don't do to what is hateful to you, don't do to others. Do you call it Torah Kula? That's the whole Torah. Everyone asks, well, that's the Bin Adam L'Chaveiro, but what about the Bin Adam L'Makom side of it? But really, that's connected. If we treat our people like that, we treat Hashem the same way. And that's going to end up being a pagan relationship. And that's what keeps coming up. So this Mizbeach here is built with the skull of Arnon, the Gugolot HaShel Arnon under it. And therefore, it's vulnerable to being destroyed. We quoted the Mechtel Mayahu beforehand that Ilu Ala Lamala Odyoter. If David had achieved just a little bit more, we have bona to Beit Midrash Mida Ava. You could have this Ava, this love for everyone else. If that's what went into building it, then it would never be destroyed. As ya hayachol not avor Yisrael Beit Midrash shlo yecharav la'olam. They could have built a Beit Midrash, but that would be destroyed. Lishia chashash b'davar, without any concern that Bnei Yisrael would not deserve it, and they would be destroyed as well. But this Beit Midrash, within the ending of the story, has that imperfection kind of built into it because it's made this way. But that story is for the sequel. That's say from Malachim about how things all fall apart. Right now, David has achieved his goal. There's end of Sefer Shmuel. He's built a Mizbeach that's going to be the Beit Mikdash. Sefer Shmuel ends on a happy note. And Divrei Hayamim, actually the next parak, summarizes it. Vayomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem Elokim. David says, this is the house of God. Zeh Mizbeach L'Allah Yisrael. This will be the altar for sacrifices for all Israel. And he is happy. And this was the cover of there we go. That is the cover of the comic that I had. There's your guardian angel, and there is David happily doing somersaults because he's overjoyed he gets to build his Mizbeach.
So is this based on our text, or what's the story with that?
Over the picture?
Yeah.
No. This is a comic strip called Roses Road, and that's a little kid who is just always happy, and that's his little guardian angel behind him. It has nothing to do with David whatsoever, but I thought I would apply it here because it's the right kind of image there. So I would imagine David as being just doing somersault because he is so happy he's achieved it. Angel is in the background still, but we end Sefer Shmuel on a happier note.
Yeah.
And I will stop here. We will continue on. We're not done because we skipped two parakim.
Was that really the scene for Shmuel?
It's
Shmuel.
not because we skipped two parakim.
Oh, we're gonna go back.
We're going to go back and we're going to do Tehillim. And I have it all mapped out.
Okay.
Basically, assuming people still listen to me, I will map. So this is all the table of contents here. We've been
Wow.
doing it for 12. When do you start in two, where do you start here? 2012. So 10 years so far. Thank you for your patience.
Wow.
And we're right over here. I've got plans for most of, well, still in Divrei Yamim, looking at his plans for the Beit HaMikdash, looking at the rest of Sefer Tehillim, and we're not actually finishing until we go back to that last little bit of Shmuel in Shmuel Bet, Perech Chaf Gimel, which is called Eil Divrei David HaAchronim. These are David's last words. So we're going to go back. We still have
Okay.
a lot more. We still have a lot more to do.
Wow.
But we've done a lot.
Oh, thanks so much, Danny.
Thank you. And
Thanks,
I will
Danny.